Well, as we begin this presentation of our future as a church, from the point of view at least of your vicar and your parish council at this point in time, on this Vision Sunday, I want you to look through your mind's eye as a way to start into the future, just 4 weeks into the future, and imagine who will be our Prime Minister in 4 weeks' time. I'm having a bit of a laugh, but it's been a tumultuous time, hasn't it? And uncertainty and distress has been felt across the nation. Having a confident and clear vision of Australian politics and government leadership is actually quite difficult, isn't it? It's actually difficult to see in your mind's eye what the nation will be like in 12 months' time, let alone 4 weeks' time. Some of you know I'm a long time chaplain at the Carlton Football Club just over the road, and it's true for my football team. Someone said it clearly: Carlton has never won a game under a Morrison government. Thanks to Titus O'Reilly for that satire. But it's hard, isn't it, for many footy fans like Carlton supporters who think back to the heyday. If you're a Melbourne person, you'll know what I'm talking about. To envision what the club's prospects will be in the near future, let alone the long-term future. There's lots of rhetoric and plans and money thrown at it and personnel thrown at it, but the results keep being in your face and they're not encouraging. And so in your mind's eye, it's difficult to see anything but an opaque kind of future. One that's like the present, perhaps, for that club. But still there are some that dare to dream. Last night's debacle, 17,000 faithful turned up, and they cheered as the team came off at the end, though they'd been beaten by over 100 points. Some dare to dream. Some see something different. And one wonders what's going on inside their heads. Vision. A way of seeing the future. In some industries, casting a vision for the future, for products in the future in industry, seems easy. Hyundai, for example, published this picture in the newsprint just recently to give us a foretaste of their cars in the near future. Look a bit different for a Hyundai, don't you think? Those of you know that brand of cars, the headline that accompanied this image says, "Future Hyundai to be sexier than Alfa Romeo." Well, good luck with that. Now, they can draw up fancy designs. They can get the best artists, the best kind of software, put the picture out. But will that company capture the heart of the people in the motoring marketplace? That's not such an easy thing to engineer. So vision is a tricky thing. You can be clear about what you think you want to see, but the getting there might not always be in hand. Every industry and every organisation needs to look into the future with a keen eye on complex matters of change in the marketplace and environment and context that it sets, a context that might bring many challenges and many opportunities. And those of you who have planned holidays, household budgets, or those of you who have been captains of industry and have had to plan great expense and great futures for many employees and consumers will know that vision is a tricky business. Seeing the future and helping people get there and realise it can be difficult. It's always true for the church too, a parish church like St Michael's. Yet in the church there is a difference if we care to listen to the scriptures thoughtfully. The scope of our vision casting, our eye to the future, is not governed merely by producing better products or new and sexier kind of marketing of the product we've got. It's not merely by more creative planning. It's not even about just increasing financial support. Primarily when we read the scriptures and when we think of the New Testament examples of the mission of the church that we have there by God's grace, primarily it's about a belief and trust that God is at work in the world through those he saves, through Jesus Christ. That's actually the governing factor. God is at work by grace in people like you and me. In history, God has chosen to work through humble followers of Jesus Christ to always be building the church into something new and vital for sharing God's love with those who are around them. Simple as that. Our mission statement emblazoned on the wall in those four statements stays the same year after year, because it's always driving us to fix our eyes on Jesus and his gospel mission expressed in that way. But the particular way in which that works out in the coming 2 years, 4 weeks, 20 years, that will differ according to the people, their gifts, their particular involvement and giving and serving, connections, neighbourhoods, their employment, their vocation, their personality, their own vision for the way God wants them to live. And it's very dynamic, changing all the time. In an inner city parish like St Michael's, we have a long-standing core group of people, and then a whole bunch of people who come and go as they move in and out of the inner city. For the 12 years I've been vicar here, we've had roughly around 150 to 160 active church members in any given year in that 12 years. And yet we've seen many new people and many who move on. And that's the nature of our transitioning society and context we're in. We've been studying the Apostle Paul in these last many months, as I mentioned, and Paul's own way of seeing his life, his own way of seeing the future, was thoroughly changed when he became a Christian, when he encountered the risen Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus as described in Acts chapter 9 in our Bible. So changed was his vision, literally. Remember, he was made blind for a temporary period in that encounter. Such was the light of the vision that was before him. He then had a new way of seeing in his mind, not just with his eyes, as he lived out his life faithfully for Jesus. And you can hear that in the words of the reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that was presented to us this morning. We studied that chapter way back in the series in 2 Corinthians. But I want to just highlight what Paul's seeing was transformed to be like. For example, his way of seeing people was changed once he encountered and followed the risen Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, we read, "From now on, therefore, me and my co-workers in gospel mission regard no one from a human point of view." We just don't see flesh and bones and skin and clothes and job descriptions. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, that carpenter from Nazareth who kind of came on the scene as a rabbi and started telling us all about the good news of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ come among you. Even though we looked at people from a human point of view, and even though we even looked at Jesus of Nazareth from a human point of view, that kind of what you see is what you get point of view, he says, we no longer view him or them in that way. His vision changed, not just physically, but spiritually, existentially. His life view of others and of God was transformed. And then notice in 2 Corinthians 5, the reading that we heard, he goes on to show how he now sees his own mission and future in a different way because of that encounter. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, in Christ, that Jesus we now see in a whole different way, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's trespasses against them, and entrusting that message of reconciliation to us. I thought my world and my life was about something else. Now I see it completely differently, he said. So we are ambassadors for Christ. He's speaking particularly in this passage of he and his co-workers going from place to place, planting churches as they speak about the gospel. He says, we're ambassadors for Christ, since Christ is making his appeal through us. Paul came to see his own direction of the future in life through this new lens, interpreting the world and himself through his understanding of Jesus Christ. A different way of seeing in response to what the Bible presents to us. And that's the kind of governing lens through which we want to look at vision for this parish. In 2016, in the Diocese of London and in a lot of places in Britain, there was a bicentennial celebration, an anniversary. And it was the birth of one Lancelot Brown. And I spoke to the parish council about Lancelot Brown last meeting. And many of you will know that he was nicknamed Capability Brown. A very famous landscape designer and architect in the 18th century in Britain. He was known as Capability Brown. Bishop Rick Thorne from the Diocese of London was here just the last 2 weeks and he spoke to me about this celebration from the point of view of vision. So I thought I'd share it with you. He said, people think Capability Brown was nicknamed Capability because of his skills as a designer, his capacity to landscape great estates across all of Britain. He said, that's not why he was called Capability Brown at all. He said, When Lancelot Brown would come and stand alongside a landowner in Britain in the 18th century, he would look out upon the rolling field that had no form and design, where there was to be an estate and a home built. And he would say to the landowner, the capability of this land to become a great estate is... dot, 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 dot. Move to another landscape. He'd look out upon lakes and hills and whatever was there before. He said, the capability of this landscape to produce the great estate is... dot, 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 dot. And so he became celebrated as the great Capability Brown. You'll know some of his work in gardens such as in Britain, such as Wenham Palace, Cardiff Castle, Hampton Court Palace, even Holland Park there in London, and of course for Downton Abbey fans, Highclere Castle. So, but there's just hundreds of them. And he had this way of seeing that nicknamed him Capability because he saw in the context he was in a certain capability to become something different. Capability Brown. When we think of the scene laid out before our eyes at St. Michael's North Carlton at present, we can take a similar approach to Capability Brown, I think. That is, to look out upon what God, by God's grace, has provided for us, even through people, relationships, ministry, stories, activity, vocation, gifts, generosity, service, all sorts of opportunities lie before us. It's up to us to see through the lens of the New Testament governing principle that God is at work in and through his servants to build the kingdom that he has brought to the world in Jesus. So our motivation and our ultimate goal is inspired not simply by what we see as possible. Oh look, we could develop this. Here's a good program. What a great idea. Let's kind of chuck that in. Here's a few things that another church is doing. Let's see if that works. No, I think it's actually together looking and seeing that we actually have this ministry passed on through the apostles and a lens through which to look, inspired by God's word, empowered by God's spirit to see differently. Of course, there are one or two great challenges before any church now in a city like Melbourne, perhaps anywhere in the world, but particularly here in Melbourne. And we've learned about it over the last 2 years. A couple of challenges that really we must take into account before we plan anything. And one is what we've learned over the last 2 years about reconciliation and reparation with regard to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here in Australia. Our future plans under God must include a sense of costly reparation. Our reconciliation action group is responding to those commitments we made last year and is facilitating a way for us to start to respond actively and more so in the future. So our plans must take regard for this as we continue to listen and learn. Secondly, I'm sure you are aware of the church's appalling record, now made so visible through the Royal Commission, and the impact that that now has on the reputation of the church and of the gospel. Firstly, let's think about victim survivors and be clear that this continues to be something the church must address. The Diocese of Melbourne, yes. But in our own way, as Christians, we must have a way to regard this and respond to this. And it changes the way we then think about our mission, because trust has gone. Reputation is shattered. You may experience it. We certainly do on site and in our relationships with people in this neighbourhood. So trust must be built from the ground up. And that must be part of our plan. And with that in mind, when we look back over the last 2 to 3 years, we had some plans. You don't need to read that. I'm just showing you that there are things that we have actually set out to do and seen realised in our vision plan. All this will be on our website in the coming weeks for you to consider as we move forward. And some of those do respond to those big challenges. As I said, the Reconciliation Action Team is at work to help us move forward in that idea of costly reparation and acknowledgement. We've implemented new protocols and continue to do so in the area of safety and professional standards. And there's more to come. For we must live in a new world, in a new way, and see ourselves differently before we plan other ways to be different. But there have been great things God has been able to do in our midst and through us in the past 2 years. Now it's time to look ahead, to make new plans and to move forward with a budget that supports it and ministries and leaders who are willing to serve in it. And so your parish council and I are working on that together and soon to nail it and bring it to you for discussion, further engagement, and make it very visible through our annual meetings soon to come. 4 major initiatives that I want to propose and have been talking to the parish council about under a new theme: new pathways. When we do dare to look forward to a new future, not so far from now, we want to build on the foundations others have brought before us, and that mission statement reminds us many have been working before we got here to represent God's love. But I want us to look at the opportunities that lie before us now. This is the overarching theme I want to give our plans for the next 2 or 3 years, informing the way we go about doing new ministry, new pathways, and visiting a future where pathways have 2 directions, and they're not the ones we've currently got. We've got ways for people to get in contact with the gospel and with Christian community through lots of things we do now. But many of the people who are coming onto our site and into our orbit and into this growing urban density of North Carlton and the inner north area, they don't come to any of those current ministries that we have. They're not interested. They don't serve them. So there needs to be a new way forward for people to find their way into contact with the gospel and into the blessings of Christian community. New pathways. And the pathways need to go the other way. There are new opportunities to serve, so we need to make a facilitative way for some of our members, some of you, to get involved in serving. And I'll explain more in a minute. Before we go on to the detail, just one example of what's happening around us week by week and how we see differently. I've asked Hilary if she'd talk about this with me this morning, just for your sake.
Hello, how are you? Hilary, you assist on the team for our playgroup on Tuesday mornings, among other things. And so every Tuesday, 10 a.m, you come along and help out to set up. And then around 11 o'clock in the morning, every Tuesday here on site, what do you see physically with your eyes? Tell me.
I think we have morning tea. Now, that could be up to 45 children. Some of them sitting down, some bathing down, some in high chairs. And they're gobbling up the food, the fruit, and mother's the father and the grandparents and carers are standing around looking pretty happy.
What sort of things do they say to you about this project?
Well, they welcome me. They show love so much that they tell their friends. That's why we're up to occasionally 45 children. 45 is not normal. Probably 38 to 40 is what we normally have, but I think they love it so much. They come, there's stuff outside, there's stuff inside, there's people to talk to, friends openly. That's what they like about it, I think.
And what do you see in your mind's eye in the future of that ministry of places?
Well, see, I think these parents and grandparents and carers are like any group of us or any group of society. They've got joys, they've got pains, they've got fears. Some of them have had connections with church in the past. Don't get any longer. My hope has been that they learn that God loves them, that this is a place of trust, and that they learn to love Jesus themselves.
Thank you. I've asked Hilary to share that because we've talked about this many times, and she has a way of seeing what's before her when she serves the playgroup that's aligned with what I'm talking about this morning. What is God graciously offering us as an opportunity to serve and bring people into the contact with the gospel we know and Christian community is blessing? That's the next things we need to think about. That's one of them. And there are a few that we're going to focus on in this particular vision statement. So, for New Pathways 2018 to 21, helping young families like those Hilary's just described, who come to meet on our site already, we don't have to go and find them. In fact, we have to shut it down this month. We've had so many emails and calls asking, can they come to our playgroup? We've had to say, no, you can't come. Our mums and dads have said to us, we want to invite our friends to come. We've said, we can't take more than 45 kids in a morning tea session. So you'll have to wait. There's a waiting list for a playgroup because this area's demographics are changing again. Think about the urban density that's happening in Lygon Street to the north and Nicholson Street to the north. More apartments than you can shake a stick at. And it's lots of younger people moving into those flats and apartments. Very different demographic to the one we've had recently around North Carlton. It's all changing. And what pathways will we have for them to meet up, to hear and know the gospel? We've got to come up with some new ones.
not the ones we currently have. They will keep going and they'll serve the people that love coming to them. Strengthening pastoral care in our community. Already, our pastoral care demands are too great for the one staff member and those who volunteer and are professionally supervised and trained to do it. When someone says, I've got a deep family issue, or there's trouble, or I need someone visiting the hospital, or I need someone to spiritually counsel me or direct me. Because the orbit of our relationships is much bigger than the 155 members that we have as kind of annual meeting, you know, card carrying St. Michael's people. There's so many people who say to us at the cafes and neighbourhood now, oh, St. Michael's is my church, and they don't come here on Sunday. So how will we extend pastoral care to us, the 155, and those who now call St. Michael's their church? Connecting with one local and one remote reconciliation partnership is one of the things we're going to commit to through our Reconciliation Action Team as part of this new vision. And serving local residents through the neighbourhood community centres, we're going to start here in North Carlton with the Housing Commission and Railway House down here, with the help of Scripture Union and the willing invitation of Railway House for members of St. Michael's to come and serve in that community. The sun is shining. The capability of our involvement in the local neighbourhood here, and maybe in the one where your residence is, where you've driven from this morning to come here, that might be so too. Despite all the challenges of the reputation of the gospel in the church, this neighbourhood house is saying, we'd love your members to come and serve in our homework club. With kids who are not making it at school and need assistance for someone who's available. We're going to put that in our plan. And we need people to think, well, can I give up a couple of hours on a Monday afternoon and be supervised and trained through Scripture Union and our coordinators? That's one example. And there'll be others. And these new pathways fit really well under our mission statement pillars, proclaiming Christ. We're going to, as we learned in our Proclaiming Christ Today sermon series in this past 2 years, really give people opportunities through new pathways to engage with the goodness of the gospel. Build community by better and stronger pastoral care. We'll need another staff member. We'll need to think about our commitment to science and staff and people who are trained and professionally supervised in good pastoral care. Sharing hope, partnering with one local and one remote Aboriginal community is an exciting opportunity, but we need to listen to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island people who we approach and see how we can be partners, see how we can learn from them and come alongside as part of that process of owning what reconciliation means. There's much to learn. And training, connecting, supporting church members who want to serve in their local neighbourhood centres like the one here. Here we stand, with our eyes open, looking out upon what God has graciously granted us at this point in time, and asking through God, under God, in the power of God's Spirit, with eyes fixed on Jesus, what capability does St. Michael's have to become in the next 2 years? So there's going to be opportunities for us to engage in this, discuss it. There'll be a congregational meeting coming before the annual meeting about this with more detail. But there was one note in the Bible reading today that I want to leave you with that is kind of the summary of the governing factor for our vision. Paul says at the beginning of that passage we heard in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the love of Christ compels us. And an old friend of Greg and mine used to love a particular translation of that verse, a paraphrasing of it that said, the love of Christ is the springboard of all our actions. A lovely way of expressing that truth. And I want to bring that into our vision and make that the lens through which we look at the future as a parish. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, your mission for the church is clear in the scriptures.
and your granting of your Spirit to give us new eyes, to see the world and ourselves differently, is so clear also. We pray for us as a parish that under your direction and by your grace, we may realise new things that offer new people a way to understand the new hope of the gospel. Amen.